Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the Thursday edition of Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. And Ted Ross at the controls. Ted, before we get any further along, want to make sure to say thanks to Tom in Fargo, or congratulations to Tom. He won last month's drawing for the David Jeremiah Study Bible.
So Tom went online and clicked and signed up real quickly and easily there. And now he's got, boom, a brand new Bible.
That's a good study Bible. We give one away each month, and it's a David Jeremiah Study Bible, which has got, all his wonderful notes. And I want to just encourage you, if you're not signed up for that, we do drawing at the end of each month. So you can sign up for the opportunity for a study Bible at the end of February. You can do that at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. And hope that you'll do that. And then there's also, I think, a few copies of our E100 daily Bible reading planner as well. So you can sign up for that online as well.
I see the link's still up there, but I heard that in our meeting just now, only about seven are left.
Yeah, we're running out of our supply. So, of course, you can always get more. You can purchase them from Scripture Union, but if you'd like to get a free one and avoid February Bible bailout month.
Yes.
We're, speaking of bailing out, maybe if you have adult children, you'd kind of hope that you've maybe bailed them out a time or two.
Bail them out of the nest. Be free.
be free. Yeah, I've experienced some of that on both sides. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now that they're grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children is the title of a wonderful little book published by Abington Press. Written by our guest today, Ronald Greer, who's authored several books. And he's the director of pastoral counseling service at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Atlanta. And he's been with that ministry for 30-plus years. He's ordained minister, a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors, and a clinical member of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And we like to kind of start out our month each, the first Thursday of the month, do a little focus on parenting. And this seemed like an area where many of us perhaps can relate. Ted, your kids, you're not really dealing with the adult children yet.
Not yet, but it'll be here before I know it.
That's true.
A handful of years.
And, of course, the fact is that you want your kids to be growing and maturing, and so someday they can, establish life on their own.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So we'll get some tips. Ronald Greer, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much, Neil. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, we don't stop being parents. We all know that when our kids are grown, but some things do change. And I'm just wondering, if that change, having, grown children that are out on their own, is that a bigger adjustment for the parent or the child? Or maybe, who tends to have the bigger adjustment?
Neil, I think it's the bigger adjustment is for the child, because this is life transition for them in countless ways. They are moving into the freedoms and the responsibilities of their lives like they've never known before. So I think the bigger adjustment is for them. The bigger challenge, though, is often with the parents. Because the child, though their adjustment is bigger, they have all that impetus. They have all that excitement, enthusiasm, and energy about moving into the freedoms and all of these new life experiences. But for the parent, therefore, they're taking on things that they have sought. It's a beginning of a new chapter. For the parent, it's often different. For the parent, it feels, even though it is the beginning of a new chapter for them as well, the focus is often far more on the ending of the chapter. Having spent the last two decades in rearing a child or rearing their children, they're now moving into a new chapter, but they're giving up not just the task of parenting, they're giving up so much of the meaning and the joy that came with that parenting. So I think the challenge, the adjustment is greater for the child, but I think the challenge is greater for the parent.
Did this book and this discussion come out of your own experience, you and your wife, or was it something that just as you were counseling in the church, or you heard so many people asking questions, you know, how do I handle this or that?
Oh, absolutely. Both of the above.
Okay.
Karen and I have a 38-year-old son, 28-year-old daughter, and so we were experiencing that very thing in terms of navigating these waters, hopefully as successfully as we could, and then countless times in my ministry and counseling am I sitting with couples who are in their 50s and 60s who are facing exactly that same life experience and are really wanting to have some tools to help them navigate those waters.
We're talking today with Ronald Greer. The book is called Now That They're Growing, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. We've got some copies to give away. We'll, as we do regularly here on Connecting Faith, we do a drawing at the end of the show and love to have you put your name in for that. And especially love to have you join the conversation. Maybe you're in this this mode right now, kind of in this launch mode, or maybe it's kids have come back and have some questions just to whether it's having to do with boundaries or financial support or whatever it might be. Love to have you join in. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number, 877-933-2484. Give us a call. And you can sign up at least for the book now that they're growing. Ron, you mentioned the subtitle of the book is Successfully. What does that look like to successfully parent your adult children? And maybe talk about the goals of parenting young adults.
Absolutely, because the two are intertwined, just as you suggested. When I think of the touchstones, when I think of the goals of parenting, and this is such a, it's an inexact science, it's more of an art, and therefore I need to have touchstones. I need to have my goals to which I return, and that's why I began with listing four of these touchstones. I think of it much as a GPS that has that go home button on it. And when I get out there and with as complex as life is and as unique as each family is and each child is, sometimes decisions become challenging as the parent of an adult. And so I need to hit that go home button on my GPS to bring me back to those touchstones. Let me list them briefly,
sure.
Neil. The first of the touchstones is to help our adult children move forward into this new independent chapter of their lives. That's the first one, to help them with their independence, to move into this new chapter. This involves new directions, new priorities, new loyalties. The second one, still focused on them, is to help them achieve their full maturity as adults. And obviously this involves taking the responsibility for their lives, making wise decisions, living with faith, with integrity, living with character. The first two, the focus is on them. The third touchstone, the focus is on our relationship with our adult children. The third one is to establish new, loving relationships with them. And understand, I include the word new in this third one because now it's adult to adult, in which there's mutual respect and appropriate boundaries that we have, that we draw for ourselves to respect their adulthood. So the third one has to do it with our relationship with them. And the fourth of the touchstones has to do with us as parents to become more focused on the new chapter of our lives. Oh, with now that the nest is empty, we have the freedom to spread our wings too in new directions and with new priorities. And it's really an exciting new chapter. These are the touchstones that to me that are important. And again, anytime with those first two especially, to helping the and to simplify it, to help them achieve their independence and help them achieve their maturity. With those being my focus, I hit my GPS and I return with each of the decisions that I make as the parent of a young adult. And I say, is this going to help them achieve their independence? And is this going to help them achieve their maturity? That's in what I do, what I decide to do, and then how I engage it, how I enact that decision goes back to that third one. Am I doing it in a way that's going to enhance this new adult-to-adult loving relationship? Now, you would ask, how do we know if we are successful in that? The answer to that is, are we getting traction? Do I sense a movement in my adult child toward a greater level of maturity and depth and faith and character? Do I sense in my adult child a movement toward independence and a desire for that kind of independence, where they are taking own responsibilities and successfully engaging them in their now adult lives.
I suspect this process or journey is maybe a little different today than it was a generation or more ago. You mentioned your kids are, in their 30s or more. Some may be listening who are in early 20s and so on. And it's a whole different way of operating, it seems, today.
It really is. The generations, of course, the terms that are given for them are Generation X, or those who were born mid-60s to about 1980, and then Generation Y, or the millennials, born from 80 to 95, and then whatever they call Generation Z, or whatever the youngsters are called, who are born after 95, they're in their late teens down to infants. These new generations, each one has its own personality, and for most of the young adults today, who essentially are Generation Y or millennials, they very much write their own rules. The way it's so different from back in the day, as we old timers say, is that the roles were pretty uniform. Things were rather set, and expectations were there, and expectations were normally met. These days, young adults are waiting later to get married. They're waiting later to have their children. Often, as many parents who are listening right now know, they're waiting later to move out of their parents' homes. So it's really a new day now, with many of the old roles and what we would have thought of as the old rules are no longer honored or respected.
We're going to talk more in a moment with Ronald Greer, who is author of a great resource called Now That They're Growing, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. We're going to learn how to be supportive yet not intrusive, how to care without enabling dependency, and we'll get to some specific issues. And we'll talk a little bit about, the world of work, boundaries, control, what happens if kids are dealing with some issues. Maybe there's chemical or alcohol use or abuse, and how do we pray for our adults, young adult children. We'll get to all that and more. Love to have you join the conversation as well. If you have a question, it's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient and you want to drop us a note, you can do that by going to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, and let us know your question or comment. And we do have some copies of Ronald's book to give away, and we'll do a drawing for that at the end of the hour. So sign up for that when you call 877-93-FAITH. The joy of parenting, right, is seeing our kids grow and mature, and that's what we're working toward, as we've heard our guest today, Ronald Greer, talk about. They move forward with independence, and they achieve full maturity. But along the way, there's a few challenges, and our role changes. And we're talking about, now that they're grown, successfully parenting your adult children. And we're going to jump in with Ronald, by the way, is the director of pastoral counseling service at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Atlanta. He's authored several books, and Patty is calling in from Columbus with a question. Patty, go ahead. You're on with Ron Greer.
Hi, thank you. My question is, what suggestions do you have when the parents disagree with the approach in terms of how to best support the youngest one to get out to get out of the house?
So tell me a little bit about the youngest one you have. So what are the ages of the children?
Well, we only had two sons, but he would be like the Generation Y. So he's in his early 20s, and he is working full time right now. He is hemming and hawing about whether he goes on to school, back to school or not, and he's taking a very long time to decide things. And I see, to use some of your languaging from earlier, I do see some traction in his maturity, yet my husband continues to resist nudging that I've been giving, and so it creates friction in our marriage about how to best support our young man.
Okay. Ronald, what would you say?
Well, that's a good question, and I hear it regularly. First things, and I'm so glad you're calling to ask about this, because it's going to be very important, of course, for you and your husband to have a meeting of the minds. Just like when if they're 25 or if they're 5, there needs to be no vulnerability for divide and conquer between mom and dad. So as y'all continue to talk this through, again, the focus is what's going to be, I believe you said this is a son, what is going to be best for your son? Now, please know that what you're experiencing, you know, as Neil has said and I have said, is not at all unusual. That one of the ways I think of it is that young adults today, I think of it like an airplane headed down the runway. They just need a little more runway before they get liftoff. And that's where the new life phase that has come into being just in the last decade and a half of emerging adulthood, between adolescence and full adulthood. So it's not unusual. It's also not a bad thing. It gives them more time to get their values in place. It gives them more time to get focused on where they want to head professionally, who they are personally, where they are spiritually. It's really a good thing for them to have that extra runway before the liftoff of their independence. However, if it feels like it's time for liftoff, if it feels like they are delaying it, then that's where I urge you and your husband to continue that conversation and for you then to decide, based on what's good for this young man, for you to decide when's going to be the best time for us to set a marker out there on the calendar and say, here's your liftoff. Here's going to be time for you to move out. And it is such a cross-grain feeling for so many parents to escort their children out of the home, but it can be one of the most profoundly loving things you can do for your child if that child is one of those that I think of as a deer in the headlights, and they are just panicked about that adult life out there. Now, they may be looking real cool. Don't worry, Mom, I got it covered. But in fact, there's a high level of anxiety often back there. Now, the other thing I would add is get them to talking about what it's like. For some, it is a deer in the headlights, and for others, they have just gotten too comfortable sitting there eating mom and dad's food, looking at that big flat-screen TV. And those are two different sets of needs. And if, in fact, it's anxiety that's keeping them there, see if you can facilitate a conversation with them so they can talk out that anxiety. If, in fact, it's the free food and the flat-screen TV, that's when you most certainly set that date on the calendar sooner rather than later when it's going to be time for them to move.
Talk about emerging adulthood, but then, you know, delayed adolescence, and it seems like there's maybe kind of a fine line between one and the other. How do we distinguish which half we're on there?
That's a great question, Neil. And it's it goes to, is this someone who is hanging on to their adolescence? Is this someone who is not wanting to move forward and progress? And again, we go back to the word traction. Or is this someone who may be moving at a rather modest pace, but it looks like they are getting traction and are getting more and more independent and are getting more and more responsible? If you do sense that kind of movement forward, then that's probably emerging adulthood and not delayed adolescence. And that delayed adolescence has the negative connotation to it, and rightly so, because progress, growth is not being made there. But emerging adulthood is moving forward, but is moving forward at a slower pace.
You know, one of the things that obviously we know is that it costs a lot more to live today. And so, and kids coming out of college with significant student debt, job market's tough. So maybe they're, it makes financial sense for them to be at home. Let's talk about maybe the financial aspect of that and how do we be able to kind of launch them in that way?
And that to me is one very good reason for them to be at home. Often they cannot afford otherwise. And when they are that in that position, let's say they're employed, but they really can't employ for the reason you said, the cost of living these days, they can't afford to be out there living on their own. Then that's where I'd be working with them as to when they're staying at home as to what they do with their money. If they are staying at home because they can afford their own home, that's very understandable. But are they saving that money so they can move toward that independence? Are they putting away a portion of it, or are they spending everything that comes in? That is a wonderful time that we as parents of young adults can be working with them to teach them now. It's not theoretical, but the hands-on lessons of adult responsibility and how you handle your money, knowing what the economy at least has been and is emerging out of, but is still a struggle for them. This is an opportunity for us to teach them about responsibility, frugality, and how they handle their resources.
Are there some guidelines in terms of ground rules to keep in mind in terms of helping financially? Because maybe they are out on their own, they're married, suddenly children or two, and the car breaks down and they need some help.
Oh, absolutely. First and foremost, and what I hear, Neil, so regularly in the counseling office is that the kids will call and, like you say, the car broke down, some kind of emergency, or very frequently they have built up a lot of credit card debt. And they call and say, you know, we can't afford to pay on our credit card and to pay for our mortgage in the same month here. We need help. That's when they will turn to mom and dad or sometimes their grandparents. And the first and foremost thing that I tell parents and grandparents is whatever you decide, however you're going to be helpful to them, do not make yourself vulnerable. I imagine you will join me here, Neil, in that we have known situations in which parents and grandparents, in wanting to extend themselves, in wanting to be helpful, have gone over the top and have put themselves, co-signed a loan they then had to pay for, and have put themselves in a tragic situation with resources that they needed in their old age. So number one is don't make yourself vulnerable. With any financial need that they bring to you, continue to go back to those first two touchstones, those first two goals about is this how I respond to this? Is it going to be helping them achieve their independence? Is it going to be helping them achieve their maturity? Whatever I do, that's my touchstone. With each, I'm going to discern with each request that they make what I do, I'm always going to be responsive. In any situation they come to me, I'm going to be responsive. But to be responsive doesn't always mean pulling out a checkbook. It can be guidance. It can be counsel. It can be education on how to live more responsibly. The question that I always have if they come, if adult children come to parents with requests for money is, how did they get in this situation? If they've been living very responsibly and have this huge medical bill, or as you said, if the car breaks down and they've got a significant bill there, but they have really been living responsibly, then that's going to be one scenario in which I will be more likely to urge those parents to be financially responsive. If, in fact, they have been irresponsible, have built up the credit card debt, have spent way over their head, way above their means, have been irresponsible, then my response to them, they need more than the money, they need life lessons. And that's where my suggestion to those parents is going to be more in the vein of how can you help them grow? How can you help them learn? They've got responsibility that they need to take on, and you need to help them get there.
We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more. You heard Ron Greer talk about guidance. We'll get his perspective on when our adult kids ask for advice or when they need it and they don't ask. You may have a question to ask. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Ronald Greer in a moment.
Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing old.
probably just all sing along, couldn't we? Just, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it's happening, isn't it? Our kids are growing every day, and we don't stop being parents when our kids are growing. But some things do change, and we're talking about that and referencing a great book called Now That They're Growing, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. And it's just a wonderful little resource from Abington Press, written by our guest today, Ronald Greer, who has authored a couple other books, including If You Know Who You Are, You'll Know What to Do, Living with Integrity. He's the director of pastoral counseling service at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Atlanta, and he's an ordained minister, fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors, a clinical member of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And we're talking about raising adult children and how that relationship changes. And Michelle had called in with a question, and maybe we'll just lead off this, Ron. She says, how do I help my child navigate through a relationship that I don't have a good feeling about? It's a boy-girl relationship, but just, you know, maybe kind of gets into that question that we teased with a little bit about, you know, giving guidance when they could maybe use it.
Oh, what an important area. It's tremendously important in two ways. Number one is what to do, and secondly, what not to do. And it's the whole arena of unsolicited advice. And there are those times with my adult children, I will just have this gem of an idea. It is just an absolute jewel. But they haven't asked for it. They haven't asked for advice. And so what do I do? I find it interesting, Neil. I was teaching a Sunday school class there at Peachtree Road Methodist, and I was young adults, and I was talking with them about these very ideas from their perspective, asking them about their relationship with their, as young adults, their relationship with their parents. And there was one young lady in there who spoke up, and she said about advice. She said, and I quote, "I don't want it. I will not want it. Any of it." And then, as if there were any ambiguity as to what she was saying, she then added, "Ever." Then we finished teaching the class, and I finished teaching the class, and then we get toward the very end, and just as I'm about to close, I see this young lady raise her hand, and I called on her. And she had not said anything during the entire time, and she said, "Why on earth wouldn't I want my parents' advice? My goodness, my dad is in business, and he knows everything about finance. And of course I will get his advice." And then just as it sounded like she had such glowing praise for his dad, for her dad, she then said, "And my mom knows about everything else." And she said, "Anytime I need advice, of course I'm going to come to them." This is the difference is with the person, with the young adult, and with the parent, and with their relationship in terms of what they want. Some do not want it. Others eagerly seek it. So first, if you have any, if parents have any ambiguity about the whole issue of unsolicited advice, simply ask your child, ask your son, ask your daughter how they feel about it, and you'll then get on common ground with this whole issue of how freely can I open up to you. Now, when it comes to so that's first of all, and it could lead for a great conversation between parents and child.
And I assume probably you ask that question before you're in the middle where you want to give that advice, right? It's just that's a general conversation that happens outside of the advice giving.
Thank you, Neil, for asking that. That is exactly what I mean, but I did not say it. Thank you for asking. Say to them this weekend, "You know, I was listening to the radio the other day, and this fellow said, and I wanted to ask you, use this conversation that we're having right now as your impetus for asking that question." Exactly. Not to ask it in the moment, but to ask it when there's not an issue that's on the table. That's exactly right. Now, generally speaking, may I keep going with
this? Yes, yeah, sure, yeah.
Generally speaking, though, so first thing has to do with the uniqueness of the relationship, the dynamic with the child, et cetera, and the personality of this son or daughter. The second, though, has to do broadly. When I think of unsolicited advice, I think of it in four different levels. Number one is what I think of as casual input, where I'm simply having a conversation with my son, and I say to him, hey, did you think about painting the wall this color instead of that color? Just casual conversation. He makes suggestions. I make suggestions. The next level, that's casual input. The next level is when I want to give input. This one has a slightly higher level of need, and it's what I think of as a half step closer to meddling. I want to give input, but it's still optional. It doesn't feel imperative, and this is when my style of doing this is the want to give input, is I'll say, may I make a suggestion about that, or may I make a comment, or may I share a different view on that? And you notice it's a question. It's a sincere question. And if the answer is yes, I'll share it. And if they'll say, and neither of my children would say no, but they might say, no, we've got it covered, which essentially means I know what you're going to tell me, and that's not what I'm going to do. If they say yes, I'll share it. If they say no, I keep it to myself. That's when I want to give input. The next level, and this is getting more serious, is when I need to give input. I don't ask for permission there. This is when I think they're about to make a serious mistake that could have significant, lasting consequences, like buying something expensive that I really don't think they can afford. I will say very respectfully to them something like, this is your call, and it's not mine, but I've got to share my concern, or if it goes badly, I'll be kicking myself for a long, long time. And then, without asking permission, I share my concern. And then the fourth level is the most severe level, and this is imperative input. So we've gone from casual input to wanting to give input to needing to give input to imperative input. This is the highest level of need, and this is when we're talking about alcoholism or addiction or spouse abuse or major depression, hints of suicide. This one literally can be life or death, and with this one, I don't care how old my children are, at this level, with the gravity of this need, I'm coming in, because the gravity of the need overrides my respect for their independence. It's like if my child is on a train track and for some reason they don't see the train coming, I'm coming in, I'm going to be the SWAT team. Given the level of need, Neil, with this fourth level, it's not intrusion. It's loving. Now, normally I'm talking about respecting their adulthood, setting boundaries, not to be intrusive, et cetera, but this is where I'm still respecting their independence. But of greater respect in this moment is for the need for their safety. I'm not going to be, if I sit back with this, like with addiction, if I sit back, then I am not turning their lives over to them. I'm turning their lives over to cocaine or meth or a bottle of scotch. And I'm not going to do that. I'm coming in. Whenever there is that level of urgency, then that's where we as parents do exactly what we would do to a friend of ours, a fellow adult friend of ours. We would do whatever we could to help them meet the need.
Because we are building a new relationship, as you talked about, and so we come at it from that standpoint. Michelle, hopefully that kind of helped give you some guidelines for dealing with your child in that relationship issue. Barb in Delano had a question off air. She said, how much input or boundaries can I put in place for my grandchildren without overstepping the parent?
You defer, as a grandparent, you defer to the parent. Now, if there are all kinds of unique situations, perhaps a grandchild is living with the grandparent, then the grandparent becomes functionally the parent, and then what I'm saying about deferring to the parent really doesn't apply if the grandparent has taken that role. But if the children are in the home with the parent and they are in the role of parent, then that's where the grandparent has got to be very respectful of the rules of the boundaries of what the parent has established for their children, and not to override it. Now, if a grandparent has a concern, perhaps the rules are too loose, perhaps the rules are too rigid in their opinion, that their adult son or daughter has laid down for their grandchildren, then that to me would follow back into the unsolicited advice category. But if it's affecting my grandchild negatively, then that's going to give me a little extra motivation to raise this issue with them, always respectfully, but to raise this issue with them and to say to my adult children, I have got a concern about this, and here are my concerns, and my concern is spoken purely out of love for you and for your children. But I need to share it. That would rise to that need to share basis. And then I would share it, and then ultimately they are the parents. But I would feel a moral responsibility and a loving responsibility to my grandchildren to be very open about that.
Talking with Ronald Greer today, who has written a book called Now That They're Grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. We do have some copies that we'll do a drawing for to give away. If you'd like to sign up for that or have a question at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Barb's question mentioned about boundaries, and that raises that question, I guess, with our young adult children. Maybe they move back in the house or they haven't left. So maybe say a word about boundaries and control and authority. And are there some common mistakes that we make in these areas?
Let me tell you, one of the ways that I think of it is about the whole issue of letting go. Because that's at the heart of the boundaries that we set. And really, when I'm thinking of boundaries here, I'm primarily thinking, as the parent of adult children, the boundaries I set that I need to set for me so that I don't cross those boundaries. And the boundaries tend to be boundaries of respect, or if I were to cross them, of disrespect for them and my honoring their adulthood. And I always smile when I think of it, Neil. I had, just before the book was published, two dear friends, both of there at the church, two dear friends, both mothers of adults, both have excellent relationships with their adults, with their adult children, and both of them I hold in high regard. These are fine, fine women. One of them came up. Both of them had heard I'd written a book, What It Was On. And one of them came up to me, and she said, "Well, that's going to be a short book. Just say, let them go." And then within a week, the other one came up to me, acknowledged that she heard the book that was about to be published, and she said to me, just softly looking at the floor, she said, "Well, we never really let go of them, of course." And when I remember those two quotes that are just so different, and both of them are so true, and the way I think of it is I hold those two in balance. We don't let go of our children. We let go of the responsibility for their lives. We don't step out of their lives. We step out of their way so they can become the adults that they now are. What we are doing is what we have done for 20 years, which is bit by bit, piece by piece, we relinquish the reins. We let go, and this is where the word control comes in. We let go of the control of their lives. We turn that responsibility that we had tremendously when they were born as infants, and we've let go over the years. We make that final step in turning that responsibility for their lives over to them in order for them to mature into the adults that they've become. And this is where the our adult children, they will know it, they will feel it if we haven't done that. And if we are disrespecting their independence, if we're disrespecting their adulthood, they will bristle, and they will not. And this is where I've talked with countless adults of adult children, parents of adult children, over the years, that please know that the moment you have a tone of disrespect, you're totally wasting your breath, because they're not going to hear a word that you say, because they have already heard the tone with which you say it. Remember that great quotation from Ephesians, from St. Paul, where he said, speak the truth in love. And of course, it was actually the way he wrote it was speaking the truth in love, and then it was the preface to a longer sentence. But to highlight that phrase, speak the truth in love, in this case, it's speak the truth with respect. It's respecting the fact that the responsibility for their lives is now theirs. We are honoring their adulthood. So the first woman who said just tell them, let it go, and then the second one said that we never let go, of course, is also right, that letting go doesn't imply less of a relationship. We don't let go of them. We let go of the responsibility. It's not less of a relationship. It's a change in the relationship, that we disconnect from all the ways we were responsible in order to reconnect with healthy respect for their adulthood, who they now are. We don't. I guess the clearest way I could say it is that we don't cease being parents. We redefine parenthood based on our new peership. We're always devoted to them. And if there were one takeaway, Neil, I would hope that your listeners would remember it this way. We have simply retired from active duty status, but we're still in the reserves, and we are ready anytime they want to call us up.
Good words today. You can tell that Ronald Greer is a gifted counselor. He's director of pastoral counseling service at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Atlanta, and he's a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors. He's authored a couple of books. The one we're referencing is called Now That They're Grown. The subtitle is Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. If I had written it, probably would have been Now That They're Grown, Change the Locks. But no, that was that would have been a much shorter book, right? So, all right, Ronald Greer will return in just a moment. We want to talk about some ways that we can pray for our young adults, and also a word about now that the nest is empty, some words for mom and dad. We'll get to that in a moment. You'd like to join the conversation? We've got time for another question or so at 877-93-FAITH.
What matters most is how much we love. What matters most is how much we give. What would it matter if we just live without loving our God, without loving other.
Now That They're Grown is the title of a great resource, a wonderful book from Ronald Greer. The subtitle, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. It's from Abington Press. Ronald has authored another great book as well, If You Know Who You Are, Then You'll Know What to Do, Living with Integrity. And he's the director of pastoral counseling in Atlanta at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church, joining us today. I did have an anonymous caller want to know. Says, I live in a Hispanic family where the parents usually don't favor the children leaving the home until they get married. Is this wrong, and what's your take on that approach?
It's different, and this is where I write only from and to the culture that I know. And I can see advantages to, as I was saying before, to having that longer runway before liftoff. And what she's describing with the Hispanic culture is an imposed longer runway. And so there would be those inherent advantages to it. But it is also a different way of doing it. I suppose the time that – so, no, I do not see that as wrong. I see that as different. And I suppose the time that the real challenge could come in is then when those two cultures mix in that someone from one culture is to marry or is dating someone from another culture, and then they have got to negotiate those cultural differences. But in direct response to the question, no, there's nothing wrong with that, but it is significantly different. And ironically, it's more in keeping with the way this culture is moving of adult children staying in the house longer.
Mm-hmm. So what are some guidelines on how we can pray for our young adult children? Are there some specific things we should pray about?
Neil, I cannot think of a more tender or personal moment between a parent and an adult child as they are talking with each other, visiting with a cup of tea and just enjoying the time together, to then turn to your child and say, tell me, what you know, I pray for you. Tell me what you would like for me to include in that prayer tonight specifically. What is on your heart? What are you and your wife dealing with right now that you would like for me to include in prayer? Ask them. That could be a wonderful moment, and it not only tells them that you love them like life itself, in that you pray for them daily, but that you take them that seriously, and you take your prayer, your faith in God that seriously, that you want to pray for something specific for them wherever they're living and wherever that to which they're aspiring or that from which they are in pain, whichever way you're wanting to be in prayer for it, that would be a wonderful thing. So I would ask them, and then that's what I would lead with my prayer that night for, is whatever they say, I would really appreciate you being in prayer for this. It also opens the way for a very personal conversation as they're talking about where their heart is. That could be a tender moment. And then across the board, I would be in prayer for those very priorities that we're talking about, for them to have faith, for them to have integrity, for them to have character, for them, as we're talking about, be moving forward in their life with attraction toward independence and toward maturity, and would be in prayer for their marriages and obviously for those delightful children of theirs that we so adore. That's where my prayer would be. But my prayer would begin with what they say to me, I really do want you to be in prayer for this.
Well, I have about 3 minutes left on the program, but talk about the empty nest and maybe a word for mom and dad, because that can be a difficult time.
Absolutely. What I encourage parents who, now for some, it's not as difficult. I always think of the father who just became an empty nester, and his buddy said, well, how does that feel? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, I enter this new chapter with mixed emotions, joy and happiness. So sometimes it's not that tough on them, you understand. The other times it is a real challenge, and that's where I have sat with countless parents over the years, and I have asked them, especially to the mamas, who have invested so much and have gotten so much meaning from that investment in their children, to say to her, I think you need to begin with grieving, number one. Many times this is experienced first as a loss before it can be experienced as a wonderful new chapter. It is experienced first as what they are losing. The chapter that's ending has to be acknowledged before the one that's beginning. And the ending of the chapter begins with grief. The ending of the chapter also can involve letting go of regrets. No, I may not have been all of the parent I wish I had been. There may be some things I wish I had done differently. I need to let go of those. I need to be forgiven for those, and I need to forgive myself for those. Then I can close that chapter. Then I start the new chapter. And when I think of that great new chapter, I think of now these adults, these parents are able to go for their passions, to go for their dreams, to listen to where God is calling them in this excited new chapter of their lives that is now empty nester and perhaps soon move into retirement. They have lots of freedom, and they can go in directions they've never had the freedom to before. And one of those directions for those who are married is to enrich their marriage and to go for the dreams that are going together to enrich that marriage. But where's your passion? Where do you feel called now that you got the freedom to follow it?
Been getting some great insight today from Ronald Greer, who's authored this book called Now That They're Grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. And Ronald serves as director of the Pastoral Counseling Service at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Been with that ministry for about three decades already. He's a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors and a clinical member of the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And the resources would be helpful, I think, for you just in going through some of these issues from boundaries to respect to just the empty nest. And it's from Abington Press. Ronald, thank you so much for joining with us today. We appreciate your wise counsel and advice.
It has been my pleasure, Neil. Good to talk with you.
Ronald Greer joining us today. If you missed part of the program today, and we thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear it again or maybe pass it on to a friend. Maybe there's someone you know that could particularly benefit from the conversation. You go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. We put the podcast and the interviews up after the show each day, and so you'll find it there after a little bit, and also another supply of great resources or programs that we've had in the past. And I encourage you to just check that out. It's myfaithradio.com, and then click on Connecting Faith. And, of course, we always love to hear from you. If you want to leave a comment, there's an email link right there. You can send us a note, and we'd love to keep in contact with you each day.